Good morning. Yeah, it's been a few. Thank you so much, Auntie Pam, for stepping in last week. I wasn't very well. I was out. I was actually in hospital last week. But I'm on the mend. So bear with me today. We're going to continue in our series. So she stepped in and started the series, Keep the Fire. Keep the Fire. And she talked, let me just acknowledge my cousin here. She's the one who is guilty of the name that I have. She's the one who named me. If you have ever wondered who names their child Honesty, blame her. She's at the back. We acknowledge you. We welcome you. Thank you so much, my sister. Thank you. At home, we don't have the cousins. We don't do that. She's my sister. And so we thank God for your life, and we acknowledge you and we welcome you. She's not new here. She's been a few times before, and we thank God for your life. Amen. Yes. Amen. So, church, Pam did step in, and she reminded us that we have to tend the fire that we have. We have to look after the fire that God has lit. It is God who lights the fire. And some of you were asking, what is the fire? The fire is your passion for God, your reading of the Word. I remember there was a time when I went before God and everything was going okay and really fantastic. And I realized that I'm not loving God as I used to. I read the Bible as a novel, and I would spend time with God in a casual way. I would just go to church and not be moved. I realized that I'd lost something inside of me. And I went to my pastor and I said, Pastor, I need to step back a bit to find myself, to find my footing. And as I stood back, and Pastor thought that maybe something horrible has happened, or maybe, you know, there's sin in me. But it wasn't sin. It was just that I'm not in love with God as I used to be. I was not in love with God as I used to be. And so I needed to go back to the backside of the mountain to find myself. When I read the Word, I was not moved by the Word as I used to be moved. When I do anything, I was not moved in the presence of God. There was this disconnect. There was me there, and there is God there, and I was not at all interacting with God, and I needed to find God. And some of you would recognize that. And I needed to go to that place. But today we go back to the same passage that Pam started last week. But to a passage to a verse that we deliberately left out last week. And I want you, because there is another way that puts out the fire. Last week Pam did highlight that we'll lose the fire by maybe 1 week. I'm not going to prayer meeting. I don't feel like it. I'm not in the mood. There's other better things for me to do. Is it really important if I do this? Do I need to do this? What will happen if just one time I just decide to sit back? And so we saw that sometimes the fire is put out by neglect. But today I want us to look at another way, because there's a way to put out a fire that has nothing to do with neglect. That maybe you are doing everything right. Nobody forgot to add wood. Nobody forgot to pray. You're always there at the prayer meeting. Nobody stopped believing. You're always believing God. You're always working for God. You're maybe even preaching for God. You're doing everything right. But the fire is not there. The fire somewhere along the way has been put out. The fire that was tended faithfully every single morning, exactly the way we talked about last week. And still, it went out. Because there's a second way a fire dies. And it has nothing to do with what you didn't do. It has everything to do with what you never took away. What you never removed. Now, I grew up in that environment where we had fire for cooking food. And every morning we knew if you are cooking fire, you have to remove the ashes. You have to remove them. I never asked, why do we remove the ashes? I thought it's just a pretty thing to do. But you and I know if we don't remove the ashes, it will stop the breathing of the fire. it will stop the fire actually lighting up well. So we had to remove the fire from the ashes from the wood, from the fireplace. And so anybody who is a wood burner knows it. And anybody who has lit a fire knows it. Even when we go for a campfire, we spend time just taking out all the old fires out, all the rubbish out, and we put fire on a clean place so that the new fire can light up. The new fire can have space to breathe. Amen. You can lay the best log in the house on top of the ashes, and the fire would still suffocate, and the fire would still, the ashes will cause the fire to struggle, because there's something that's stifling it. You are doing everything right. You are putting the firewood, but without the ashes being removed, the fire will struggle. The fire will find it difficult to be lit up. Amen, somebody. Amen. Amen. So, because there's no air getting through, the new fire is trying to breathe, but through what's left of the old fire, the fire is trying to light up, but it never has the chance. It's being choked by everything. Now, last week we talked about the danger of not tending the fire. That if you don't tend the fire will go out. One missed morning, I'm not going to read the Bible. I'm just going to stay at home. You're not investing in your relationship with God. You don't talk to God. You just say, what difference will it make if I just do this? Everybody's doing it. Let me just join in and do that. We know that the fire will be put out, will be dying because of neglect. We neglect the fire. This week I want to show you a different danger. And that is, if you do not remove the ashes, the fire will struggle, will not go up as it should. It will not breathe because the ashes stifle the fire. Now, as I was thinking about this, I wrote this sermon actually last week and I was away. I got thinking that we've got so many people that are doing the right thing, that religious thing, that could actually say, they can talk about yesterday. They can talk about what happened, what God did yesterday. They can tell you, they can paint a picture of, this is how God moved for me. This is how God showed up for me. But very little of what is happening now. There was a fire, but what is there now is just the ashes. And I want you to not feel guilty about that. I'm not trying to blame you. You are doing everything right, but somewhere along the line, there are things that should have been removed that you failed to remove from your fire. There were good things. There were things that actually were fantastic in themselves, if you look at them. But actually, their season has come and gone. And you needed to take them out, to remove them, and be free and allow the fire, the new fire to come in. Allow the new fire to light up again. Otherwise, the old fire becomes a stumbling block for the new fire. As good as it was. You may help me a little bit. Is that okay? You're all set. What is that? What's up? You're all looking like I said, you know. Some of you are struggling. You're not struggling to start a fire. You're not struggling to start a fire. You're struggling to keep that fire. The fire of God. You're not as passionate as you used to be. You're not in the same place that you were before. Remember that day when you gave your life to Jesus and you were passionate and you do, Lord, I'll do anything for you. Lord, let's go change the world, God. Use me, God. Whatever you say, God, I will do. I'll surrender all to you, God. But as the years go by, we find ourselves, we still go to church. We still read the Bible. We still do the right things. We still pray. But we are not in the same place as we used to be. That's the person I'm talking to today. You are in that place. You an Old Testament testimony. You keep reciting, oh, we used to do this, you know. God used to show up. God showed up. Oh, God healed me. Oh, God did this and God did that and God did this. All in the past. What is God doing now? Because as far as I know, the God we worship is a God who is forever doing a new thing. And so, what testimony do we have as a church of what God is doing? A wound maybe that went cold years ago, you were hurt years ago, and it hardened into something you now call, oh, this is just how I am. And there's some people, we look at them, and they have got this way of doing things. Because of the wound that was exerted on them, they start carrying themselves that way, and they've carried themselves for a long time. They now classify it as, this is my personality, this is who just I am. This is just I am. I'm just like that. And everyone tiptoe around that, the ashes, and saying, this one, you don't talk to them like this. They're just like that. They're just angry. You can't tell them, you know, they're not redeemed from that. But it's coming because of the wound that's come from the past. And it was never dealt with. An offense you never actually released. You just stopped talking about it out loud. You were offended. And now you don't talk about it. It's there, the ashes. It's there. A way of doing things that used to bring you close to God and now just brings you comfort because it's familiar, not because it's alive. I go to church. Why are you here? I always ask that question. People struggle with that question. Why are you here? Why am I here? Do I love God more than I did when I became a Christian? Is my relationship with God going up or flat or nosedive? That's what I'm trying to address today. And sometimes we have to check inventory. This series is really asking us difficult questions, all of us, including the person speaking. It's asking us questions, what is in my camp that needs to be removed, that's stifling what God wants to do going forward? What is it in your life that God has removed, has already dealt with, that actually needs to be, you need to remove it? The ashes. It may be a good thing. I'm not talking about sin today. I'm talking about good things that God has done. And you're still holding on to those as good as they are. But they can stop you from experiencing the fire that God wants to do today. And they can stop you, and they can affect you, they can prohibit you, they can hinder you from coming to the new things that God has in store. And the people of God are always asking, God, what is it that you want to do in this place? Not what we have always done it this way, let's keep doing it that way. What is it that you want us to do? What is it that you want from me? What are you seeking after me? Your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Amen. Amen. And so, church, it's not sin. It's not even neglect. It's ashes, and it's sitting where your fire needs to breathe. Every single person in here, including the person talking, there are some ashes that we need to remove. We have to deal with. It's time that we are honest with ourselves. It's time that we have introspection, and we are real with where we are. What ashes are in our camp that we must deal with today? Not the person next to you. Pam did say to her, I'm not talking to the person next to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you as an individual. I'm talking to me as an individual. What ashes do I need to remove? Honestly. Not what somebody thinks or what people are saying or what I think somebody else should remove, but what is God saying to me that needs to be taken outside the camp? So let's keep on. So here's the question I want you to carry through this whole message, because we're going to come back to it more than once. It is this. What are you still holding on to that God already finished? But that God is finished with? What are you still carrying? Is it an offense? Is it a good thing, a testimony of God doing a great thing in your life? Is it that, when I became a Christian, I used to do this, I used to run this, I used to do this and this. What is God doing now? What is it that God is doing now? Are you on fire for God? Are you in that place where you can say, actually, my fire is going okay? Are you okay? I'm just checking. Are you okay? Should I keep going? Are we still friends?
Yes.
I just have to say, it's the word of God. Let's find out, where God answers it, actually, in Leviticus chapter 6. Last week we looked at verses 9, 12, 8, 9, 12, 13. The command is to keep the fire burning. That was the command, keep the fire burning. The wood laid every single morning. That you and I, we have a responsibility. The fire came from God, but we have a responsibility of lighting, of making sure that fire continues. Fire has to continue, and it will continue by you putting the wood, by you sustaining the fire. And that's what Elder Pam, I keep saying Pam, Elder Pam draws to. Today I want you to look at two verses sitting right in the middle of that passage, verses we skipped last week deliberately. We left out those verses because we knew we were coming back to today. And so we looked at the other verses, but today we are looking at verse 10 and 12. And look what it says. This is what it says. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen trousers. He shall put on his body. I like the detail that the Bible gives us. It's specific. It's saying, so if you miss the picture, I want you to get the picture. And I would love to write a movie, Auntie Margaret, where we can act this all out, the priest doing all that. So the priest shall put on his clothes, he shall put on his body, and take up the ashes of the burnt offering, which the fire has consumed on the altar. And he shall put them beside the altar. Beside the altar. First stage, put ashes beside the altar. Second stage, what does it say? It says, then he shall take off his garments. Again, detail is important. He shall take off his garments, put on other garments, and he shall carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. We used to have a big hole. In Zambia, they still have a big hole where they take out all of the ashes of yesterday's ashes. They go and dump them and rubbish into that hole, away from everything. It's usually a foot away, so no one actually is affected by it. You shall take it and you shall put that away from the camp. I want you to read that verse slowly. Read it again and read it slowly. The priest lays a single piece of new wood. Before he does that, he has to remove the ashes. Before he puts in a single piece of wood, responsibility number one, remove the ashes, put it aside, carry it, change your clothes, and then carry it to the outside the camp. Now, you and me just read that and we go past it. You and me would not actually understand if there is a meaning in that or not. But there is meaning for us that we can learn from that. Verse 12, he has a job to do first. He has to do that. And it is only specific. He's given the guidelines very clear. Don't miss this part. Put it aside. When you put it aside, change your clothes. You're on the altar of God. Put aside, change your clothes, and then you shall walk out. Imagine doing that every morning, Sister Judith, with that big hole that you have. You remove the ashes on the side, you change your clothes, and you take the ashes outside to the big hall. That's what we have been asked of. He puts on his linen garment, his priestly robe clothes, the ones he wears to minister the altar, and in those garments he takes up the ashes out of the fire, out from the heap, and he's taking out to the dam. I want you to get that. That's why I'm repeating myself. All right? And then this is the detail I don't want you to miss at all, because if you miss that, you miss the whole sermon altogether. He takes those garments off. He puts on different clothes. And in those other clothes, he carries the ashes outside the camp. Two sets of clothes, two different jobs, one priest. He has to do that. That's the responsibility. This is what you are to do. You are to carry these separately. Why would God build a wardrobe change into a morning routine? I've cleared the ashes. What's wrong with Sister Juliet just clearing the ashes and just going straight to the dump, to the hole? Many of us would struggle with that. We would find questions. What is going on here? Can't be bothered. Waste of time. It's quicker if I just go and just do it. But actually, it's because ministering at the fire and clearing out what left out from yesterday is not the same work. One is glorious. One is actually clearing, ministering at the altar, and clearing at the altar is glorious. You can be seen singing, praising God. You can be seen preaching. That's ministering on the altar. But actually the everyday life of doing the mundane thing, carrying the things that are not so popular, that many people do not see, is not so glamorous. We neglect that part. We actually don't want to do that part. In a kitchen, by yourself, and you make a choice and say, I'm going to forgive this person or that person. You cry out to God, it's hard. No one can see you. You're carrying the ashes and you're saying, Lord, I choose to forgive this person. I choose to let them off. It's not as glamorous. So we neglect that part. We refuse to do that. God didn't command the fire to be kept burning. He didn't just command the fire to be kept burning. Before the command even lands, he says, clear what's left first. That's what you have to do. And I want you to hold on to those two garments. We are coming back to them. But first, here is the point number one. And I have to get to point number one. I'm jumping around. They're already in. Yeah, point number one. Ashes are not shame. You know, they are evidence that there was a fire. When you look at ashes, they tell a story that there was a fire here. There was something that was here. There was something that was burning here. God did show up, and God did amazing things in those spaces. And so I need to say this clearly before we go any further, because I don't want anyone in this room quietly feeling like I'm a failure, you know, like for the next 20 minutes and just feeling awful. I want you to know that your testimony is your testimony. I said we're not talking about sin, we're talking about the things, the good things that God did, the evidence that God showed up. But what do you have about today? Might it be that the ashes are stopping the fire coming because our altars are already full? with ashes. Are you, how much are you crying? Are you clearing your altar? God, do something new in my life. God, I want a move of God. Not yesterday. I don't want to hear testimony that happened 20 years ago. This church should be full of people who are saying what God is doing now. Not yesterday. Yeah? Not 10 years ago, God did this for me. Aye. Ashes. Ashes. What is God doing in your life today? Have you got the capacity for new fire that God has in store? And church, if we are going to experience what God wants to do in this place, we have to take the ashes outside the camp as good as they are. There may be good things. It's not sin. It's everything right. But we have to remove what is not for this season out. Amen. Amen. So ashes is not evidence that you did something wrong. Ashes is evidence that a real fire actually burned in this place. Something happened. God showed up. God was there. And think about what's on the altar. It's not rubbish. It's actually, it's not waste either. It's the remains of what we offered to God, what we brought before God. And God accepted that offering. God took that offering. So when you walk through, when you talk to, when I talk to you up today about ashes in your life, the old testimony, the past season, the thing God clearly did, I'm not talking to you about sin at all. I'm talking to you about your history. Your history. And your history with God is not something to be ashamed of. None of us should be ashamed of our history with God. This is what God did for me. 20 years ago, this is what God did for me. But what is God doing now? So don't feel ashamed if you refer to your 20-year-old history. But it is time that you grow up. It is time you and me stand up and create space for a fresh fire to breathe. Some of you, your fires are struggling because there's no space full up of other things. You're too busy. You're wanted everywhere. And you feel like you can do everything. And what that does, it chokes. You've got no room. God can't do anything. Well, he can do it, but you have to remove the ashes. What ashes needs to be removed in your life today? What ashes do you need to remove? The volcano, what is it called? Vesuvius buried the Roman city of Pompeii in AD 79. And what happened is it did something no historian can explain. You know, everything... It wasn't planned. The ashes didn't just destroy the city, it buried, it preserved the city, it buried the city in extraordinary detail that the archaeologists could not have planned for it. And so nobody who studies those ashes layers today can see it as failure, or see it as evidence that this was failure. But they see them that actually there was life once here. There was something that was here. They see them as proof. A real deity stood here. People lived here. There were people once here. Real people lived here. Proof something actually happened here. There was a tragedy that takes place here, that took place here. The ashes tell the truth about what once was alive. The presence of ash is not evidence you felt. So today, don't feel you failed. I am telling you, it's time that ash needs to be removed for God to do something new. So I'm very careful that you don't see what God has done as sin. It's not. Next week we'll look at put on the wood. But now we're looking at, it's not sin. It is literally neglect and how that affects our walk with God. Many of us are dissatisfied with our walk with God. Many of us are satisfied with where we are because we are not bothered by the condition of our connect with God. We are continuing business as usual. And so we don't introspect. We don't look at our lives and see, is there things that needs to be removed? What needs to take place in my life today? Amen. So the presence of ash is not evidence you failed. It is evidence God showed up. It is evidence that God was there. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, God showed up. The mistake is not that the fire happened. The mistake is what we do with it the next morning. What are you doing with the fire that happened in your life? What are you doing? How are you tending? How are you fanning that place? I don't want to go there because we're going to go there later on in the series. But how are you fanning the fire? What is stifling the fire? What habits are in your life that are stifling the fire, the ashes that also needs to be removed? You know, we introduce ourselves by our last breakthrough instead of our current walk. We talk about, we don't notice we have stopped building anything new. All we are doing is talking about what God did yesterday. What is God doing now? You and I need to be dissatisfied. We need to be dissatisfied. There ought to be a cry out in this room that says, God, there must be more in our lives. God, we want a move of God. We want you, God. We want you to show up, God. God, we can't walk as second-class citizens in this world. We have to be, we are your children, God. We want to see you. You healed people in the Bible, God. Why is it not, we are not seeing that today? You moved, God. Why are we not seeing it today? When that heart cry comes, we are removing the ashes. We are speaking space and we are asking God to show up in our own lives. Yeah? Amen. Amen. So God never told the priest to leave the ashes where they could be admired. Don't just leave the ashes there where you can admire them. Oh, you know, God's amazing. What he's done in my life. He did this. We used to do this. We used to walk in Lewisham. We used to do this. We used to do that. What is God doing now? I want you to be haunted by that question in your life today. What is God doing now? And what is stopping God from showing up now more in your life, setting that fire ablaze in your life? Why are you walking downcast? Why are you defeated? What is going on? Why are we as a church, if we are comfortable enough to just come in and play church, sing and go home the same? Where is God? Where is the move of God? Where is the power of God? Where is the fear of God? Where is God showing up in amazing ways in our own lives? Come on, church. We have to take the ashes out. Each and every one of us, if you and I remove the ashes and we walk outside the camp with our ashes and we are real with them that this is an ash, it needs to be removed. However good it may be, I need to take it out for God to do something fresh, a fresh anointing, for God to pour out fresh fire in our lives. Yes. Otherwise, we'll come here and we'll act. Sometimes we're acting. I say it. Sometimes you are acting. Sometimes I am acting. Because we come here, we sing songs. This is how we do church. We are not moved by the one who sits on the throne. We are not moved. We sing these songs. Just check the way you are singing the songs, the way you sang the song. Did you actually connect with what you are singing? Only you can answer that. I can't answer that for you. If you find yourself thinking, oh, I don't like the way they sing. Oh, I don't like that song. I don't like this. ashes. There's lots of ashes around. Where we make it about us rather than about one who sits on the throne. Ashes. What God did in your past is not the problem. Building a present on top of it instead of with Him today is. So we need to be. Here's point number two. Did I say point number two? No. Okay. So here's point number two. Underneath it, there's a question that's going on. Underneath everything, I just say it. If clearing the ashes matters, if it matters this much, why are we not doing it? If removing the ash helps the fire, if it matters that much, why is everyone not doing it? So two clothes, right? Remember we talked about those two clothes. Go back to what we saw, those two garments. The priest had them for a reason. And the number one, ministering at the altar, laying the offering and tending the flame. That part looks like worship. We like that part. We like to act to do the part that looks like worship. And the part where we struggle is the carrying the ashes out the camp. We find that difficult because no one else applauds us. No one else recognizes that part. And so we struggle with it. Let me speed up a bit. I'm going somewhere after this. So carrying the ashes out the camp, the tents outside the gates to a place nobody's watching doesn't look like ministry. You're reading the Bible when you're by yourself. You're praying. You're making time to invest on your relationship with God. It doesn't look like worship because no one is watching you. And so the easy thing to do for you is to neglect that aspect, to just pile up the ashes. And some of us, we've got pile after pile after pile. Ashes to be admired. But God did not command build ashes to be admired. He says, actually, put them aside. Change your clothes. Take them outside the camp. Amen. So we skip. Not out of rebellion, but out of instinct. We love building fires. We don't... How can I say this? We don't like carrying the ashes. We find that difficult. We gravitate towards the parts of our walk with God that we feel like worship. We do that aspect. You come here, you pretend. You pretend. You can fool me. You can fool everybody else. I can fool you, but I can't fool Him. He sees the ashes underneath, in case somebody's listening on the audio. He sees what's going on. Some of you, we have business to do with God today. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's just saying, God, I need a new fire. And there's stuff that I have prioritized. You are not priority at all. Serving on your altar is not priority at all. I have allowed other things that are glamorous to become priority. But actually, taking out the ashes, doing those things that no one is looking, has been neglected. Leviticus 6:10 says that he shall put them beside the altar, not gone yet, just set aside right there, close by. And if the priest stopped there, if he just pushed the ashes to one side, started laying a new wood right next to it, morning after morning, and you know exactly what would happen. The pile would just go bigger and bigger, and until he has no space for the fire itself, it will build up. There's no room. just an overgrowing pile of what used to be. Some of us have got just an overgrowing pile of what used to be. Yes, we're still showing up. We are faithful. We do what we have to do. But when we zoom into our hearts, we are not there. And that is precisely how so many of us are living. We don't refuse God's. We don't refuse God's work, new work outright. But what we do is we just never clear space for it. We don't make space for God to do something new. We have no time for investing in that because it looks cumbersome. It looks like no one actually cares for it, for us. What did I say? I don't know. We keep the old wound. We keep it beside the altar. We come to church, but we are hurt by somebody. We have these wounds that are within us. So it's positive, negative. Remember, just walk with me. But we need to come to a place where we bring all the ashes, whether wound or whether good thing that God did, and say, God, do something new within my life. Amen. I remember right here a few years ago, I wrote a sermon for another church. I was preaching another church. And then I went and preached that church. It was a good sermon. Amen, Pastor. It was a good sermon. I prayed over it, studied, written, and spent time in it. And I went to go to another church. It was actually very good sermon, if I could say so myself. And then one time I was tempted. I was here. I came here. I just said, I couldn't be bothered to prepare. Let me just come and give them. It was in Zambia, or in Zimbabwe as well. I say Zambia, but I mean Zimbabwe as well. They have this salsa, nchima. Yesterday, nchima. They cook it. It's like a thick porridge-like, but very thick. They cook it. I think they call it ugali somewhere else. Is that ugali? You're looking at me. You're not helping me. It's like you don't know what I'm talking about. You cook it fresh. All right. Well, there are some people in Zambia, Sister Juliet, they cook it, and they put it somewhere else. And then the following day, they boil water, and Sister Cecily knows what I'm talking about. And they put it there, and then I think in Kenya they call it, what is it called? Ugali, yes. And then they boil it with water to make it fresh again. So I came here, and I thought, the same one that worked there, let me just, By the way, this sermon is not... You didn't know, but God said, no, that's not the word I want you to speak on today. I tried, I struggled, I tried to preach it anyway. God said, no, that's not the word I want you. I struggled every sentence. I had no words coming out, and everything was, nothing moved until I said, okay, God, you win. You give me the words to speak, and I will speak. I am your mouthpiece. Provide the words right now. And it's amazing what God did on that day. People gave their lives that morning. The message was not sin. The message was actually not wrong. But it was yesterday's fire that I'm trying to bring into this place. And God saying, no. Remove the old fire, the ashes of what was. Allow the new fire to breathe. Allow what God wants to do, and I was able to light that up. And I was standing to, refusing to take it out. I was refusing to speak that new, or to make room for that new fire. And when I said, okay, God, give me the words, He provided the words that I needed. And the fire was able to go ablaze. It was, the UK's official body for solid wood, for solid fuel heating. Standards. They advise people that every wood burning, I've got a wood burning stove, I've got a wood burning stove. I thought I'm going to hear amen. I've got a stove, a wood burning stove. Amen. Yes. Be happy for me. All right. What they say is that empty the ash. That's the standards they give you. If you've got a wood stove, a burning stove, empty the ash. If you don't, that fire will struggle. It will not be efficient. Not because a little ash is dangerous, but because the fire will be stifled. It will not be what it needs to be. You know, a stove that looks perfectly fine, it looks amazing, but if there's ashes in there, it's not going to go well. You may be looking good. You may impress us. You may even stand up here and speak and do everything that you can do. But if they're ashes, it's not good for you. Those ashes will stop the fire of God. And over time, the fire will die. Because there's too much stuff going on. Amen? Again, you cannot lay a new work of God on top of an old work. What God, you never let go of. You have to let go of the old. You have to remove the old. Not because grace has limits. I want to say this. Because not because God can't do it. But because your capacity does. Your capacity has limits. You are not able. You only have one altar, one life. And every single thing you refuse to carry out is taking space of the new things that God is doing in your life. Many of us are asking God, do something new in me. In fact, I go as far as to say, don't ask God to do something new until you have removed the ashes from you, until you have made space for God to come and fill that place. Have you got space? Have you got capacity? So we've seen why we skip it and what it does, what it costs when we do. Then there's one more detail in this text, and it's the one that changes everything because it tells us who actually makes the clearing possible. Point number three. I'm rushing now. I'm going to be somewhere. Point number three. Beside the altar was never the destination. Put the ashes beside the altar. It's never the destination. And verse 11 says this. Ye shall take off his garments, put on the other garments, and carry the ashes outside. Outside the camp to a clean place. Two stages, right? Besides the altar is stage one. And outside the camp is stage two. And most of us stop at stage one and call it accomplished. We just say, okay, I have removed the ashes to this side. But we don't do the step two out of the camp. I just love the way God's word. God's word is amazing. The way it speaks to us and the way it makes it clear. You know, we name the wound aloud once. This person did this to me. This person, my parent did this. My father did this. My mom did this. And yes, what they did is awful. It's painful. But it's time for God to do something new. It's time we let the old wounds aside. Allow God to heal them. Allow God to move in power in our life. And so we talk about it. If I talk too much, they'll reach it. I'm stopping now. We name the wound in small groups, in counseling sessions, and in prayer. And we think that's clearing. But naming something is almost like just putting it there. We have to then choose to take it outside the camp. Remove it from your life. If it's a person, I choose to let go of that person. If it's a sickness, we put it out there. God, I am healed. I choose to walk like someone who is healed. I choose to see myself the way you see me, not defined by the ashes that I just piled up on the side. Amen. Yeah. And so we keep them still close enough to fall back onto the fire. And that's why you find it's a circle. some things cannot just be acknowledged. They have to be removed, taken somewhere they can no longer reach the flame. Somewhere they will not choke the fire of God in you. Some things you have to cut ties outside the camp. And here's where this picture turns towards the cross. In Hebrews chapter 13, it says, verse 11, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burnt outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Is that right? Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. I love God's word. Outside the camp. The Bible is very clear. When they hanged him on the cross, they had to go outside the camp to him. And there they nailed him, and there he cried out while he was taking away our ashes outside the camp. He didn't keep them in the camp. He said these things have to be taken outside the people, outside the camp. Amen. So some things cannot just be acknowledged. Some things cannot stay there, outside the camp, outside the city. He did not deal with what needed removing from a comfortable position in the sanctuary. This is comfortable. You and me can come here. We are comfortable. We do our thing. And we go home. But ways outside the camp is when you choose out there at work, you choose to live for God. At work, you choose to be different. At home, you choose to say, I'm going to live a life where I set everyone free. Whatever is wrong me, this is a season of letting them free. Amen. Amen. What are you still holding that God has already dealt with? That Jesus has already paid? He's already carried it outside the camp. What are you still holding? Here's quick things I want you to do this week. I'm just cutting. Start by naming it. And you can do that today. Name it, not vaguely, specifically, not some things from my past, but the actual testimony you keep reciting. It could be a good thing. God, you healed me. It's a good thing. That's yesterday. I'm making space for a new season where you are going to show up, God, in my life. I choose today to say, to remove everything out, the good, positive. Amen. So take it, name it outside. And then the second step is not just the first, because that naming it something out loud is not enough, but it's carrying it out. Let it move somewhere real this week. Somewhere, maybe a conversation, if it's safe to have one, a decision. A prayer that finally releases instead of just describing. I'm struggling with this. No, God, I choose to release this. I'm not defined by this anymore. I release it outside the camp. It's not my portion anymore. I'm letting it go. And if reconciliation would put you in arm's way, remember the clearing can only happen between you and God first. Talk to God first. And if it's me you need to come to, come and say, Pastor, I release you. I forgive you. I was holding this against you. Hold on, man. Wisdom, not exposure, is the goal. But whatever you do, don't ask God for a new fire until you have made space. This week, ask God, I'm going to make space. He wants to bless you. It's his nature to bless you. When last did you receive a blessing? When last? Check camp. Maybe you've got a pile of ashes. I'm going to stop right there. What are you still holding on to that God already finished with? He did not leave what needed removing in camp. He went to Golgotha for you so you can deal with what needed to be dealt with. And my sister Valerie will say amen.